James chapter 3 tonight, please, just as something that I have been thinking about that I wanted to bring before us. You'll see up on the screen that we're looking at something that is small but very powerful, something that is tiny, relatively tiny, but has a lot of power. It says in verse 1 of James 3, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." That word masters is literally the word teachers. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." If somebody doesn't offend in word, by what he says, wow, what a mature person, able to bridle the whole body. Then he goes to this illustration, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Now, when you look at the immense power of the tongue, that's what he is illustrating here with the bridle. The bridle is able to convince that huge beast where to go. An amazing little thing, the tongue. So powerful. Illustrated by the bridle. I know the Munsons have a horse, and you learn that if you're going to ride that horse, you've got to have power over that horse. And there are some people who can train a horse by saying words to them, but typically you've got to put the bit in the mouth. And that little bit controls the whole body of that horse. It goes on to say, we're going to jump down to verse 5, because verse 3 is the illustration. In verse 5 he says, "Even so," so here's the application, "even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things." That little tongue is very, very powerful. So we look at the bridle. The tongue's control over a man is like the control a bridle has over a horse. In other words, the tongue is to the body what the bit is to the horse. The bridle is not to control the mouth of the horse, but the body of the horse. You lose control of the reins and you've lost control of that horse. And so one who loses control of his tongue loses control of himself. If we do this with horses, put the bit in their mouth, a strong and spirited horse, how much more we need to do it to ourselves. Psalm 39:1, "I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." Well, then he uses another illustration, or he talks about something else in James chapter 1 and verse 26. "If any man among you seem to be religious," he seems to be religious, "and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain." Now, the other illustration, look at verse 4. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." And so the rudder has the power to control an entire ship. So the tongue's control over a man is like the control a rudder has over a ship. And the comparison of size here is very significant, because the slightest movement of that rudder determines the course of the whole ship. I mean, to use a modern analogy, you take an ocean liner and wow. That's just amazing. When we went on a cruise a year or so ago, and some of you have been on a cruise, you imagine that huge ship and you look at the size of the rudder in comparison to that ship, and it's so small. And yet that rudder drives that entire beast of a machine through the water. So does the tongue. The ship is not turned by winds, however fierce those winds may be, but it's turned by the rudder. And the tongue has the power to influence direction. The tongue influences marriages. The tongue influences unity or disunity in the church. Relationships at work. It opens or closes doors for witnessing. That's the tongue. It's important that we use our tongues to direct people in the right way. You know, when people's tongues were confused, it diffused a whole people all over the earth. How powerful the tongue is. It can be used for construction or for destruction. World War II, they used to have this little phrase, loose lips sink ships. Loose lips today are sinking families and churches. I want to go to this verse, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteous and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. There's the immense power of the tongue. But I want to get to something even more daunting tonight, and it's the incinerating power of the tongue. Look at the last part of verse 5. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How big is this fire? A little fire. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. It's got incinerating power. Fire destroys. Look at the first part of verse 6. And so the tongue is a fire. It destroys. And so you see the illustration, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Here you have a huge forest and a small fire. Just a little fire destroys a huge forest. Something fired everything up. In the application, the tongue is a fire. Once something is spoken, it cannot be retrieved. It's like fire. What it destroys is gone forever. Devastating because it cannot be controlled. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 17:9. He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Some take this to mean she told me not to repeat it, so I'll tell it only once. No. Or an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Or, and this is talking about the ungodly man, in an ungodly man's lips there is a burning fire. It goes on to say in verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. All it takes is one little word to say. I can speak from experience. Can anybody else? You say something and, oh, let me go take that back, and you can't do it once it's gone. And there's really a word for this. It's called gossip. It's called slander. Slander is malicious statements or reports about somebody. It was prohibited in the Old Testament. Here's what it says in Leviticus 19:16: Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. What was the sin of Aaron and Miriam? Against their brother. They were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses, the Bible says in Numbers 12 and verse 8. And what happened to Miriam? Struck with leprosy. I can say by experience that people like to speak against somebody in leadership. Ephesians 4:29, you know this verse, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's in Ephesians 4:29. It says this in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking but be put away from you with all malice. Verse Peter 2:1, laying aside all evil speakings. Paul feared that the Corinthian church was involved in backbitings and whisperings, 2 Corinthians 12:20. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 and 11, that deacons are not to be double-tongued and their wives are not to be slanderers. Paul warned Timothy about women who learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Kind of an interesting use of words here. Many words that describe what is taking place. Note the time the tongue is mentioned in Proverbs chapter 6. Would you go there with me, please? Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. I'm asking you to note how many times the work of the tongue is mentioned, either directly or indirectly, in these verses. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. There's the second occurrence of something that references the tongue. And then look at the last one. And he that soweth discord among brethren. It says seven are an abomination unto him. There you go, the seventh. Those who sow discord among the brethren. How do you contain a fire like this? How do you stop a fire like this? I'll tell you how you do it. You put it out by not listening to it. You let the slanderer, you let the sower of discord know that you won't be a part of spreading the fire. If they want to talk about someone else to you, you refuse. You see, if people can't find anyone to listen to gossip, they can't gossip. If someone talks to you about someone else, you rest assured they're going to talk about you to somebody else. The one who listens is just as guilty as the one who speaks. Somebody said that no man can have a gossiping tongue unless he first has gossiping ears. Some people are flattered that somebody would come to them to talk about somebody else because they have confidence in you. Are you flattered by that? Oh, people know they can come to me. You should be ashamed to be known as a repository of such wickedness. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Kids, do you know what the word naughty means? Your parents ever said, that's naughty? Look at this. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. How many times has a fire been started in a church nursery? And I'm not talking about the one that endangers the kids who are in the nursery, but the one that endangers the entire church. Fire destroys. But it also dominates. We see this in this passage as well. It dominates. Look at the illustration. The illustration is in verse 5. How great! And then you see the application. A world of iniquity, verse 6. A world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. When it says a world of iniquity, the tongue is a vast organized system of wickedness. The ability of the tongue to do evil is inexhaustible. It was the tongue of the devil that tempted Adam and Eve, that plunged the world into sin. God used tongues to separate man upon earth at the building of the Tower of Babel. And then it says, among our members, no other member of our body dominates more. None other has as much power and range of influence for evil as the tongue. What is said, either spoken or written, has power to dominate. Think of somebody who became an evil power like Adolf Hitler. What member of his personality or body influenced? Was it Hitler's good looks? How many of you ladies think that Hitler was a good-looking guy? Yeah. It wasn't his good looks. Was it his intellect? He was very intellectual. Was it his muscles? His athletic prowess? Not by armies. Not by money. But he got the masses to listen to him. By his tongue. Somebody said that for every word in Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, 120 lives lost were lost in World War II. Think about that. For every one word in that huge book, 125 people lost their lives. The power of a word, the power of a tongue. It's a fire that dominates. It's a fire that defiles. Individually, it defileth the whole body. You see that in verse 6? It defileth the whole body. It does not just defile itself, but the whole body, the personality. The fact that a man has a wicked tongue only reveals what is in the man's heart. What is in the man's heart is going to come out. Notice what it says in Matthew 50. This is what Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Fire defiles. The fire here. The message is corrupt because the messenger is corrupt. You cannot separate the message from the messenger. So individually, it defileth the whole body. Socially, it setteth on fire the course of nature. All of life's relationships can be set ablaze by an uncontrolled tongue. Do you have the freedom to say whatever you want to say anywhere you go? Or are you liable for what you say in a public place that could endanger somebody else? You've heard the illustration, you cannot go into a theater and yell fire. Do you have the freedom to do that? And yet that one word, all you have to do is say the word fire. People may be killed and you're liable. It defiles, it setteth on fire the course of nature. I remember we were in a restaurant in Huntsville, Alabama, a number of years ago, and the clouds were looking pretty ominous outside. This was at Orion Steakhouse. And I think either I or my wife said something. We just mentioned the word tornado in a sentence, and there was a family behind us that heard the word tornado. And if I remember right, they got up and left. They're like, oh, is there a tornado? We didn't even say there was a tornado. But wow, it looks like there could be a tornado. Oh, all of a sudden, and then it got bent out of shape, and man, it just spread like fire. One house on fire ought to be a concern to a neighboring house. All it takes sometimes is for one politician to say something about the economy, and it can drive the stock market up or down just by speaking the word. D. Edmund Hebert, in his commentary, said, wild, passionate words of national hatred can stir international conflicts whose flames may need to be quenched with rivers of blood. Note these verses. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Paul had to warn the church leaders at Ephesus that of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them, and they are in every church. He warned the church at Rome in Romans 16, 17, and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. I admire my father-in-law for something that my wife has told me, that as a little girl and growing up into her teenage years in that house, not once did she ever hear her dad speak something negative about the pastor. If he had something to say, you know where he said it? He went to the pastor and said it to him in his hearing alone and talked to him. And it ought to be that, you know what? If you have something to say about somebody, you go to that person. You talk to him, you talk to her. You say, but it's all true. What I have to say is all true. You know, sometimes you hear something said from one person and the story sounds so plausible. And in the back of your mind, the wheels are turning and you're starting to think evil of that person. Then you go to the other person, you talk to him and you find out, wow, this is getting confusing because this person sounds plausible. You know what? What you ought to do is wait until you get those two people together and say, no, you want to, oh, let's get together with the other person. Let's talk together to hear about this. There was a sailor who disliked the captain, the story goes. And so he secretly entered the captain's room where the logbook was kept. And the logbook cannot be erased. And he wrote these words in there. Captain was sober last night. And that was true. But what's the implication? The other nights he's drunk. And it is so interesting how we can say something that's true, but that implies something else to try to get back at somebody. Rumors are fires to the wheel of existence. Fire defiles, fire diffuses. And that, by that I mean it spreads about or it scatters. And here we have the illustration, a little fire. Behold how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. It spreads when other combustible materials are nearby. Fire relies upon fuel. No fuel, no fire. No one listening to a wicked tongue, the fire dies. That's the little fire. The application is set on fire of where? It's set on fire of hell. Where does such a fire originate? Literally, and is being set on fire by hell. There in verse 6, the last phrase of verse 6. It is habitually set on fire by hell. The uncontrolled tongue is a tool of Satan in spreading the fire of hell. Fire from hell, folks, can destroy another person's reputation. It can assassinate his character. Do you have something to say about someone, say it to them. Because telling someone else who has nothing to do with it only diffuses the fire. It only spreads the fire. You've heard, don't say something about someone unless it's good. Well, it's like the lady who said, I wouldn't say anything about him unless it was good. And boy, is this good. Or so often we say it this way. You know, Sarah, I wouldn't gossip for the world, but I want to tell you this so you can pray about it. Doesn't that sound religious and pious? October the 8th, 1871, you've heard this illustration. It was 8:30 p.m., a fire reportedly started in the O'Leary barn in Chicago with a cow kicking over a lantern. Just a small little fire. But it diffused, it spread. 300 died, 100,000 homeless, 17,500 buildings destroyed at a cost of $400 million in 1871. Somebody said, gossip is like an egg. When it is hatched, it has wings. Remember, the fires of hell cannot burn where there is no fuel. Proverbs 26, 20 to 21. Where no wood is, what happens to the fire? It goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. And as coals are to burning fires and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. In other words, if there is fuel, if he can find somebody who will listen to him or her, he can kindle strife. He can kindle all kinds of people fighting against each other. Here's an interesting verse in Proverbs 18, 21. Death isn't the power of the tongue, but what else is? Life. And so I go back to that illustration, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Let's use that for life. Is fire a useful agent? Anybody here warm tonight? It's out there, fired up in the furnace, and it's cozy in here. Or you put that fire and you stick it in the wood in the fireplace and you get that fire going and kindle, and that feels good. But then you take that burning log out and you set it in the middle of the living room on your wood floor, and what happens? Now you've got a house fire. No, as long as that fire is controlled and where it ought to be, it is a useful agent. Engines, Alex can tell you, is the controlled use of fire. Whether it's your automobile, whether it's a tractor, whether it's a truck, when it is controlled. So, yeah, how great a matter a little fire in that combustion chamber kindleth. All of you are going to go out tonight, and all the non-mechanics are not even going to think about when you turn that key that you got a fire under your hood. And the guys like to hear that fire. I think Brother Ron knows what I'm talking about. The application. The tongue is a fire. And we've seen that it is set on fire by hell, but folks, the tongue can also be set on fire by heaven. Any illustrations of that? When Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and mighty upon his throne, was touched by fire, when he yielded his tongue was touched by fire from God's altar to be used in God's service, not to be used of the devil. And his tongue was set on fire of heaven. And then you probably know the other illustration I'm going to give when you get to the New Testament in Acts chapter 2. Because the disciples were there in the upper room. It was at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the Holy Spirit is sometimes depicted as a dove, but it is also depicted as fire. And folks, when fire falls down from heaven and it came down upon those men and women that day, souls were won to Christ in great number. You see, fire also comes from heaven. So, fire out of control destroys, but under control generates power. Fire is unpredictable. All it takes is a little spark, and it destroys a forest. A number of years ago, I and the boys were hunting down by Woodland Park, Divide, Colorado. And this is when I had the tent set up, and we were outside in the woods. It was cold, and we had taken some of the hot coals out of the stove that night, and we had taken them round back and placed them in the snow. Those hot coals. Well, that's a good place for those hot coals, isn't it? In the snow. Does snow burn? No. So we placed those coals in the snow. And then we all got into our sleeping bags and got snuggly warm. And I woke up in the night and there was this kind of this glare right outside the back of the tent. I'm like, what is that? And I said, fire! And the guys jumped out of bed. I said, there's a forest fire. I knew that's the only way I could get them out of the bed. But I saw the fire. And indeed, we went outside and there was this little fire right at the base of a tree. From the coals that we had put there in the snow, it had burned through the snow, got down to the root system, and had started burning that tree. Same area, by the way. Remember where the woodland fire took place? That was it. I was going to burn down the rest of it. Just one little spark. And folks, that's the tongue. Is your tongue set on fire from heaven or hell? If it is from heaven, it's not destructive, it's constructive. Are you a gossiper? Or are you one known for listening to gossip? Take the fuel away. You see, the tongue is small but very powerful. When kindled from hell, it destroys. When kindled from heaven, it delivers.